I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Today is a special program for me. Earlier this week, it was announced that after today's broadcast, Cityscape is ending its run. St. Louis on the Air will now be heard Monday through Fridays at noon and will include arts coverage through the week. I've hosted Cityscape for the last 11 years, and I can't express what that's meant to me. I have some really great memories of getting to know, or at least spending some time, with celebrities small and large and with interesting creative people of all kinds. Fridays have been the highlight of my time here, and I want to thank you, audience, for being there along the way. For almost 1 year, a small group of volunteers have been bringing music lovers together for concerts in intimate and secret settings. If you've never heard of So Far Sounds St. Louis, Chris DiGiacomo is here to explain. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So Far Productions, I think you've held 5 productions?
That's correct.
With another one set for this Saturday, somewhere in the Grove. You haven't announced that.
Can't tell you.
You're not saying where.
Can't tell you where that is, but I can definitely say that it's going to be in a unique place and that there's never been a concert in this space ever before.
You know, I think this makes me think of pop-up restaurants and pop-up stores. Yeah. Is that sort of what this is modeled after?
You know, I'm not sure if it's directly modeled after that. It's more about doing concerts that are extremely intimate and where the audience is completely involved in the experience. It takes place wherever we can do it.
And when you say intimate, you've actually done this in people's living rooms.
Yes. So we've done it in 2 living rooms so far. Actually, really funny story. We had one. It was outdoors in a backyard, and it started storming during a performance. Or right after the performance, it started storming, and then we had to move everything inside, and so that was our 2nd living room show.
Well, how do you get the Bottom Up Blues Gang or someone like that to perform in someone's living room?
Well, you know, you send them an email.
I mean, they're used to pretty good-sized audience.
I would say so. Our audiences can be anywhere from, like, 40 people to 100 people. So we like to focus on making sure that our audience is completely engrossed in the music. So that's what our main focus. It doesn't matter if there's 5 people there. Well, there's going to be more than 5, but you know.
How do you make sure they're engrossed in the music besides it being great music?
Well, that's a great question. So we always stress that we want the attendees to not be like texting during the performance, which is, you know, an impossible task, but we try and push it. And we encourage people to post on, you know, Instagram and on their social media sites, but as long as it's like not intruding on the performance.
So no selfies.
Yeah, pretty much.
This concept, Chris, really blows my mind. I mean, you apply to attend.
Yes.
You pay what you decide to pay for tickets, and you end up maybe in someone's living room or some other space. Talk about American wrestlers.
Yes.
Where did you just for an example, where did you hold that, and talk about what happened?
So that was one of the living room shows, and they are they have 4 people in their band, so we filled up the living room. That was one of the most exciting shows because it was one of the bigger names that we've had. They've gotten a lot of attention recently from a lot of national and international music press.
We played some of their music here in Cityscape during Lou Fest because they were part of that this last year.
Yeah, I saw them at Lou Fest, and then it wasn't directly correlated, but I remembered them from Lou Fest. And I'm like, okay, well, that was outside for hundreds, maybe even 1,000 or more people.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it indoors for 50 people.
Why would they go along with that?
That's a weird question. Not a weird question, but that's a very complicated question. But the main reason was because I emailed the lead singer directly, and he just got back to me. He's like, "Sounds awesome. Let's do it." And communication with musicians for So Far Sounds sometimes is really easy, sometimes is really difficult, but they went along with it, and it turned out, you know, they were really pleased with the experience.
Chris DiGiacomo is involved with So Far Sounds St. Louis, and they organize these secret music shows. And this is part of something that's been going along for a number of years. I think originally, I'm not sure when, it began in London.
2009 is when it began.
What do you know about the backstory?
I know that there were a couple – it was started by two people maybe, and they were just not really pleased with how the overall concert experience was, just because people were distracted by the drinks, by talking, by, you know, just the overall venue experience, typical traditional venue experience. And so they decided that they wanted to do it a lot more intimate and a lot more where you can, you know, talk to the musicians afterwards in a completely comfortable setting. Because, you know, it's kind of weird. I've talked to musicians after a show at a venue, and it's just – it's kind of – it's neat, but it's not the same as if you're in someone's living room or if you're, you know, in an intimate setting chatting with them about the performance.
Well, who are some of the other St. Louis groups that you've worked with over this past year?
Recently, we did River Kittens, which is a really great trio. They just got, one of the 2016 bands to watch from the RFT in St. Louis. We've also had we've had Monk, who he's a singer-songwriter, and he actually just moved away from St. Louis. But, you know, we have people from more than just St. Louis. We've had one performer in particular was Lynn O'Brien. She's from Minneapolis, and she did a So Far Sounds in Minneapolis, and then she contacted us, and then we hosted her in St. Louis, and it was a great bringing together of community.
So Far Sounds in St. Louis, if you want to call it a chapter, the chapter in St. Louis.
Yeah.
How did it begin here? I think the small group of you that are doing this are described as volunteers. So how did all this come together?
So we're all volunteers. We're not paid or anything. We volunteer our time. And there were a few people that were in charge of So Far Sounds in February, but it kind of lost, you know, they lost touch of contacts, because there's a lot of things that go into it. You need to find a host. You need to find a person to do sound. You need to find a person to do video. There's a lot of different things that go into it. So it's but I swooped in, I guess, in July, and I contacted the previous leader, and he just handed everything over to me.
Hmm. You said that you need a sound person. See, I was assuming maybe it was all acoustic because of the small setting.
So most of the time it's acoustic, but in order to get the best sound quality possible, sometimes we do have a live sound set up. We'll have some microphones set up because, you know, there has to be a certain quality of mixing to it, whether we're taking the audio directly from camera mics or if we're taking it directly from the soundboard.
And because of this intimate setting, whether it's 40 people or more than that, not every artist or group would be appropriate for that kind of setting, right?
That's one of the challenges for So Far is that, you know, we have to go after bands that that, you know, mostly are acoustic. We've had bands that are not acoustic. We've had bands where every single one of them is plugged into an amp, like American Wrestlers. But we worked it out with the sound system. It's mostly, I would say, we look for low volume bands because, you know, if it's in a living room, we can't have, a big punk band destroying someone's front room, you know.
Yeah, no heavy metal.
Yeah.
So take me through it. I want to understand how this works. So I'm a music lover. I'm here in St. Louis. How do I find out about So Far Sounds? How does it first come to my attention?
Well, it's all over social media. Also, So Far Sounds is a lot bigger than St. Louis because So Far Sounds has a YouTube channel with, I don't know, like maybe 100,000 subscribers and I think 3,000 videos now of, you know, small bands to big bands. Like for instance, Karen O of Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Leon Bridges. there's all these videos out there, and that's where I came upon So Far Sounds. Is I saw a Leon Bridges video, and I was like, wow, what is this? I need to know more. So I looked into it, found the website, and you know, it all came together from there.
So I'm not clear on this, though, Chris. Do I know who the artist is before I show up?
You know who the artist is when you walk in the door. We usually have a pamphlet with the artist names or some kind of projection with the announcement.
There's got to be a lot of trust here.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm spending
money. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, everyone, you got to just trust me here.
Wow. So how do people – you have to sign up for this. How does that work?
Sign up is really easy. All you have to do is go to SoFarSounds.com. It's like a login where you sign up as a member. They take your email, you create a password, and you give a little bit more information. And then you click on attending. And then what happens there after that, you get a follow-up email. And then from there, you confirm if you're actually going to want to come or if you can't make it.
So you know in advance, obviously, how big the venue is and how many people you can have in the audience. So
yes.
Basically whoever applies first?
Yeah, exactly. And also another thing to keep in mind is that everyone applies has the opportunity to add a guest to their underneath their name. So, you know, if you want to apply and bring a friend – the other friend doesn't even have to do anything.
Well, I don't know anything about business and business models, so, but this sure has me confused. The audience pays what they want.
So, yes, the audience previously we did not have a prepay option, but that's a new thing that we're doing for this next show. But usually, you know, you sign up, we get your name, and then you come to the show and you donate whatever you want at the door. But now we're doing, some people would drop in a 20, some people would just walk past the table. You know, the whole point is that if you have no money or if you have a lot of money, you can come. We're not going to keep you from coming because you don't have enough money to come to a show. But now we're doing the prepay option. In order to come to the show, you have to pay at least $1.
It seems to me that the groups that would be involved in this must be doing it for other reasons than financial.
Oh, absolutely.
They must be doing – basically, they've got to be doing it for fun.
Yeah, it's for fun. It's for the music. It's for the experience. It's not about – making money. The bands, honestly, they don't care about making money off these shows. They have the option to make money off the show, but it's the option we give them, all of So Far Sounds, the main option for all artists that do a show is you can either do monetary compensation, which is a preset amount guaranteed, or you do video compensation. Which is what we've luckily been able to do for all of our shows.
Okay, this Saturday, all I know is it's 7 p.m. somewhere in the Grove.
Yes.
So I would need to go to your website, sign up.
Sign up, wait for my email, and then donate at least $1.
Is there some excitement in the audience from doing it this way? Because it seems so chancy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you show up to the address and you have no idea what's going to happen. You just got to follow the So Far Sounds logo. And then, you know, once you're inside, it could be anyone. We've had, you know, we don't just do, or I told you earlier, you know, we stay away from louder bands. But we do a variety of acts. We do, you know, electronic, we do folk, we do hip hop. You know, it could be anything. We could do spoken word. You know, it's just the element of surprise.
Chris DiGiacomo is one of the organizers of So Far Sounds St. Louis. Their next pop-up concert, and that's my term, is going to be this Saturday in the Grove. If you'd like to know more about it and their website, a link to that and all that, please go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. And finally, Chris, is this in any way, I don't know, a rejection of the traditional concert experience?
I wouldn't say it's a rejection. I just think it's an alternative. I think that might be a better word for it.
And it sounds like a fun one. Chris, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next on Cityscape, we're going to talk to Kristen Caskey and Mike Isaacson about what it was like at the Tony Awards and why Fun Home was a Broadway game changer. This is St. Louis Public Radio.